Äntligen trädgårdsfest på bygghemma.se. Vad sägs om ett hus på köpet när du köper din Gardena-robot? Eller klicka hem nya smarta Husqvarna Aspire-redskap. Välkommen till ditt byggvaruhus på nätet på bygghemma.se.
Lördagsgästen på Retro FM.
Lördag morgon, och då sitter jag här med lilla gubben Al Pitcher. God morgon.
Finally someone respects the person I am. Lilla gubben.
Men du, this lilla gubben thing, first time you heard it?
No, but I. What's strange is I've just tried to make jokes about things that I see, and now it's quite funny, like walking around Lund and people just shout out like, "Nah, man, lilla gubben," and stuff like that. So it's quite nice having a little catchphrase sometimes.
Oh, fy fan.
Yes, oh, fy fan. Fy fan, I think... I'll be with my kids and people will go, "Fy fan!" And my kids don't quite understand what they're saying.
20 years with stand-up comedy. How did you end up there?
I'm not one of those that sort of came out of the womb and wanted to do stand-up. You know, some people come out and, you know, they've got the microphone ready and the jokes are ready to go and they always want to do stand-up. I just went through a number of jobs, bumping and bouncing and not knowing what I wanted to do, and then just went to a comedy club and I was like, wow, this is amazing, and I thought I'll give it a try. I'm not really a show off as such, but when you do comedy you have to be a show off. I think I'm quite normal, but there must be something missing in my head that makes me want to go on stage and make people laugh. Yeah, I just tried it and it was up and down. Was doing well in England, and then we came to Sverige and it's gone better than I could imagine, you know?
Doing jokes about Swedes in the UK or in New Zealand, what would you say? I mean, I know what you say about us Swedes when you perform here.
I would say they're a strange bunch of people. No, weirdly, I've done gigs. I did like Amsterdam, New York, London, Copenhagen, where it was Swedes bringing their partners with them who were not Swedish. So the connection was one of them knew the Swedish thing. So it was quite funny saying like, I could say like, "Fy fan," and I could see one of them whispering to their other partner, "He means like, you know, like, yeah." So it was, I did a show in Edinburgh Festival 2017 where I did five little work in progress shows, and I made it more broader, you know. It wasn't as like they don't get, you know, Ingen Fara or Andra Sidan Ani Klara, you know, they don't get. So you have to make it like the Swedes are these kind of people. They love their coffee. They have this thing called fika, you know, and you have to, it almost becomes more of a lecture than a stand-up comedy show, you know. But with doing shows in Sverige, I really try and make the little things that you guys do big, you know.
I love the way you educate us in the way you see us, the small little bits that you did on SVT.
Yeah, thanks. It's something about, I want to do it nicely as well, you know. I don't, for me, if someone came to my country and started saying, "Well, this place is, it's shit, you know, I don't like this," I'd go, "Well, don't live here then." Like, you know, yeah. But if someone shows me a side that reminds me of what we are, brilliant, you know. And that's what I try and do every time. I try to have no victims in the stand-up, you know. I don't have anybody. I try and celebrate these people, like, you know, like the Leffes and the Banks. Yeah. And people know these Banks. They know, you know, they know the Mortimers and the Four Doors. So it's just what it is. It's just trying to, you know, like when you got a little mosquito bite. Yeah. It's just trying to give it a little scratch so people go, yeah, I get it, you know. But I generally love being the comedian who does these kind of jokes. You know, I'm not, for a while there, when you get into comedy, you think it's going to be more rock and roll. You know, you see the, whether a comedian is he, she, just gets up and, you know, you see them talking about the real things and being, you know, maybe they can be below the belt or they're talking about politics. And then I started doing stand-up and I was like, do you know what? I don't want to do that. I want people to be in a room with me and just be entertained and laugh as much as possible. And that's all I try and do. And coming here, you know, like Schiffert said about my stuff, that I put like a cracked mirror up to the Swedes, you know? Yeah. Like I show them for what they are. And getting that answer from the audience of going, oh yeah, so true, is brilliant, you know?
Real life's real funny.
It is, yeah, yeah. And when you get that feeling of someone going, oh, you do that, that's you, that, you know, it's, you know, I love it. I love doing a joke where you get it, you know, like the Yarm or Haleva, for me, was something that was like, what a weird tradition this is. And then you start to, and I could just hear, like, people that, it's kind of like throwing a rock down a volcano, you know, like it starts rolling like a snowball, basically. Yeah. And I could hear people going, yeah, I do that. Yeah, it is weird, you know. So, it's all about laughter. It's all about, I mean, the world, I don't know if it's as shit as it's ever been. I'm not sure. I think sometimes when you, social media and the news, you look at it and you go, oh, I just want to stay in bed. So why not be in a room with me and let's have a laugh together, you know? That's as pure as it can be, you know?
What's the weirdest thing that you, when you first came with Anita to Sweden, the weirdest custom? I talked to my friend Micah, who recently moved here a year ago from New Zealand, and Midsommar Afton was the weirdest shit he had ever seen, you know, with a phallic symbol and drunk adults jumping små grodorna.
But I think for me, it was the blue bags on the shoes. That was the funny. I really loved that because it was such a small detail of these people and going into like the Forskolan and that, and you walk in and they're like, get them on, you know, like there's such an anger of like trying to sneak past without them. Midsummer as well. I'm working on new material now, and I've got a little bit about Midsummer and how the Swedes kind of sell it to you as this romantic, you know, this was, but I don't see any romance in it, you know. I just see people staggering around, you know, falling into bushes, you know. So it's something that you guys take for granted, and it's an easy thing, and then you notice it, and I think that's the beauty. And I've done like four tours now. I still think there's way more to do. There's still more to scratch, more to find, you know? And I think you just got to surprise the audience as well. Like, the audience who come to watch my shows now, they sort of know, it's like watching your favorite band. You know that you're going to get this kind of music, so it's just about trying to find something that surprises them.
Building up a new show, is it just observing everyday life, or when you go into a creative part, picking up bits and pieces for a new show? How does that go about, Al?
I always like it when you're talking about comedy and there's a big siren goes past. I always think it's the comedy police going, we've got him, he's talking lies again. It is observing. I think with this show, I've tried to do stuff that I'm not really used to doing, you know, like I'm not really a beach person, you might guess that. I've been on a vegan diet. It's not like, you know, you don't go to the zoo, you know, you take your kids to the zoo, you don't take them because you want to write a new show, you know, like you do have to, I think you have to live life. But I really, really enjoy the process of writing. I didn't used to. I used to, you know, some days, you know, if you've written a book or anything, we've all done like things for school, you know, where you have to write something for an exam or an essay, and you sit there and it's just a blank page and you're like, And I think I've got over that noise. Yeah. And I'm willing to have those days where nothing happens. But I try to, you know, like on the last tour, I went to a Lopez. I went to a Bacaloka Lopez. You know, yeah. I went to a football match. I watched England play Sweden. You know, so it's like everyday kind of things. You know, in this, the latest ideas I've got, I went on a Sven Sexer. But I didn't do it just for comedy. I just, you do it, you just go, you go on the roller coaster and see what happens, you know? But I really, really enjoy the process of writing at the moment. I didn't, never used to, but now I love it. I you know, at the moment, I'm currently doing like like almost like a, it's not a tour of work in progress, but every show I'm doing brand new material, which is extremely, I'm not gonna say it's difficult, but it's tougher because I know that the audience go, oh, I've seen this guy either in another show or they see me on TV and they're like, right, he's gonna, I know him, he does the Yamoi Lever, he talks about festings. So he's gonna do this stuff. And I, to get better and to get a new show out, you can't do your hits. So it's like going to watch your favorite band, like Rolling Stones, and they don't do Satisfaction, you know? You're like, come on, Mick, come on, Keith, you know?
Yeah, but for fun.
Yeah. So for me, it's like long term, it's brilliant. Short term, it's a bit harder, you know? Because you're not the best version of yourself yet. But the process of writing and trying stuff out, and the great thing about the audience is they decide what's funny. So if I do like five shows and I'm talking about a hexa, you know, what's a hexa, and if those five audiences don't laugh, the hexa stuff goes. So it's
kill your darlings.
Yeah, it's for them, you know. So for me, I really work with the audience to get that. I did a show recently where a person came up and they said, do you know what? I want to say this to you. I think watching you live, and I was like, oh God, here we go. Live is better than watching you on TV. And I think that is. You try and bottle what you do. It's a bit like trying to capture lightning in a bottle, you know, when you do your TV and a TV special. But live, anything can happen. There's noises, there's little things. Yeah. It's great, you know? Live comedy is like when you're up there and you're looking down, you see the whites of people's eyes and, yeah, you know, someone can be on their, you know, looking at their phone. It's all live, it's all happening. It's brilliant.
Äntligen trädgårdsfest på bygghemma.se. Vad sägs om ett hus på köpet när du köper din Gardena-robot? Eller klicka hem nya smarta Husqvarna Aspire-redskap. Välkommen till ditt byggvaruhus på nätet på bygghemma.se.
Ett poddtips från Podplay.
Jag är den som har varit så hård med reglerna. No boys allowed at our place.
Jo tack.
Och så är det jag som och de drar hem en kille.
Jag heter Stella Kakotsa.
Jag heter Anna Friberg.
Och tillsammans har vi podden 30s in the city.
Nytt avsnitt varje onsdag. Du hittar podden i Podplay-appen.
Those few minutes before you go on stage, do you have any special ritual or do you get scared shitless going into to a crowd?
When I started comedy, I don't think I used to eat for like 4 hours before. You know, I couldn't, my stomach, and I think, you know, I've kind of done that kind of noise on toilets and rubbish, and I'm like, and then you start questioning, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And I think the audience were thinking that stage, you know, when I go on, they'd be like, why is he doing this? A friend of mine, a comedian, used to have this thing where he said, he would try and work out how far away he could get from the venue before they found out he'd gone, you know? And I think that's lovely, you know, how many kind of like tube stops or tog stops he could get. I don't get so nervous during the days now. I used to, I'm very much one of these people, not to get all kind of about the head and mindfulness and all that, but I really like the idea of controlling the controllables. I can't do anything at 1 o'clock in the afternoon before a show at 7 o'clock. I can think about it, but there's no point in getting nervous because what will be will be. So I think I could generally eat a burger, put it down and walk on stage. You know, I'm not saying I don't get nervous and I don't care. I absolutely care, but I'm just in a different, there was a time there where I didn't like going on stage, but now I actually love it. You know, this is another one that goes up and down as well. There's times when I haven't got material or haven't got new ideas and I think I've got nothing. And I don't want to do old stuff, you know? I think as a comic, you should write a show and then try it, but it should keep changing all the time. It should.
Dynamic.
Yeah, everything, you know, you just go, you should never have like that 1 hour show. Like the TV special I did, the Svaria Syndrome, which is on SVT Play, that was like a 1 hour 30 show. So we had to cut like 30 minutes off. So for me, but that 90 minutes, it should be very liquid. It shouldn't be like, this is the 90 minutes, we tour this for this long. You should always be changing, you know, mixing things up.
How much of a Swede have you become? You got your citizenship just the other month.
Yes, I like to complain more. I worry when I'm not worried. I very much feel like this is home now, you know. I always get people saying, but you could live in New Zealand. Why do you live here, you know?
I love Gandalf.
Yes. But for me, it's like, I don't know. I think in a bizarre way, it's the people that have made me want to stay here, you know. And because, like, we've done a film, we've done a documentary, a road trip called Big in Sweden. And we went to, the whole idea was to see how big I was, you know, and if we, so we went, instead of doing big, like, shows over 1,000 seats, we did shows in populations, like, we did one in, up by Umeå in a place called Ornaset. And I think it holds like 450 or 500 people, and 150 of them came to the show. So it was like, and I felt those people, this was an event. And I've done them in Skåne. I was in Dalby the other night, and it's wonderful. Like, there's 150 people in Dalby coming to a show, and it's an event. It's not just a normal night. This is like Dalby. It's like almost like the town was like rebooting. Like, it was like a kickoff, you know? And it was great because it was held in the old courthouse in Dalby, and they've done the paint. You could smell the paint. The walls have been done. And they were like, yeah, this used to be the courthouse. And the judge would sit here, and then the prisoners would be underneath the stage, and then we'd bring them up and we could hang them. We'd hang them. I was like, oh, that's a wonderful introduction, Taksimikit. Yeah. Hopefully the gig goes better than that, you know? So for me, it was it's about the people. So yeah, I do feel, you know, I miss my coffee. If I miss my coffee in the morning, I'm angry, you know. I love to fika. I love to moan about the weather. I love to talk about the weather, you know. So I'm becoming more and more Swedish.
Growing up in Huddersfield, you were born in Huddersfield. How old were you when you moved over to New Zealand?
I was 7. I went with the family. It wasn't just me that...
that put you on a boat.
Yeah, I caught the wrong bus. I went to New Zealand when I was 7. I'm not one of those people, you know, those people that are like, I remember when I was 1, and, you know, I don't even remember yesterday. So all I remember about going to New Zealand, it was 1979, so you know, if the kids are listening, there was no internet, there was no streaming, there was none of that.
I know.
No mobile phones. We just talked. And I remember saying goodbye to my grandparents, Mordor and Fordor. No, and I said goodbye to them. And I remember thinking, having this sick feeling in my stomach, I will never see them again. It felt, you know, like you would look at a world map, and you can still do this today, and you look at England, and you look where New Zealand was, and you're like, we will never come back. This is, you know. So there was that part. And then when I went to New Zealand, I had like this English accent, like from Hem to Gordon, you know, Hem to Gordon. Yeah. I had that accent. And I'd get bullied for being English and stuff like that. And I always felt English, even in New Zealand. And then I came back to England and I'd say hello, and they'd go, all right, Crocodile Dundee, you know, like, so I was this Australian guy for some reason. So I've never really felt like I've found where I belong until now. I've got like, you know, two great little Gooban and little Gooman, and I've got a wonderful wife. And I've got an audience that come to my shows. That's, you know, that's a really great thing. When people buy a ticket for my show, I want to give them the best I can, you know? Like, you know, like they've put it in the diary and they've gone, Friday, we're going to this. Our pitcher's coming to our town. We've got to get a babysitter. We're going to have a meal afterwards. It's going to be date night, you know. And for me, why wouldn't you want to give them the best show, the, you know, best thing ever?
What's on your bucket list? What's beyond the horizon?
I will hopefully do a big tour next year. I don't think I've told anyone this. I've told my wife, I think. I'm going to do a big tour next year. I'd like to write a book. I don't know if I'd want to do like act. I like acting. I don't think I'm very good at it, but I'd like to do kind of more characters or sketches rather than playing myself, you know? But stand-up is the best, for me, it's the best medium in the world, you know? Like, radio's great, because radio, you can say something into the microphone, and then someone out there laughs. Brilliant. But you don't hear that laughter, so you've got to just think that someone did hear it. But for me, stand-up comedy, live comedy, when you're on stage and you say something that was in your head an hour ago, and someone down the front just goes, "Ho-ho!" It's just so immediate. It's just instant, you know?
Isn't it strange how it transforms from that thought, and you're having like a good connection with your speech organ, and it just comes out?
Yeah, I mean, the more you water it down, the more you think of it, your mind explodes, because sometimes, you know, and going on stage, people have a big fear. Yeah, I mean, it's like the Seinfeld thing. Seinfeld had that thing about, he said something about the three biggest fears in the world is, number three was planes flying, number two was dying, number one was public speaking. So people think, oh my God, how can you do that? And I can be on stage and I go, what do you do? And they're a doctor, a children's doctor or something. And I'm like, you're doing, you know, a better thing for the world than I am. I'm just trying to make people laugh, you know. But people think like doing comedy is such a scary thing, but I've gone past the scariness now. There's nothing else I can really do, to be honest, you know. So I think I'll definitely tour next year, and then I'll see what I can do, you know. But if you'd asked a little boy in Yorkshire, in Huddersfield, as he got on that plane to New Zealand, yeah, and you know, you're seven now, in 40 years, you'll be in Sweden, and you'll have a comedy career. I'd be like, fee, fan. So, yeah.
I always ask my guests to find a song that still means a lot to them. Something, if you had a CD that got stuck in your CD player, and that's the only one song you could play, like the tape stuck in How I Met Your Mother with Proclaimers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say it would be U2, With or Without You, only because I'm a massive U2 fan. And when they released The Joshua Tree, it's like 87, maybe 86. And they, I remember I bought the vinyl, Joshua Tree, when it got released that day. It was the first time I was old enough to like buy, you know, an album or knew my music. I had it all on cassettes and stuff, but this is the first album. I put it on, but my mum and dad had people around for like, coffee or something, or and so they were talking, and I had my head. I turned the balance to right, so it was just blowing out one speaker, and I listened to the album. I mean, none of this streaming, none of this kind of getting it before it's released or leaked. And I remember listening to it, and then you fast forward that on. My wife's mum, Mordor, she organised a night in Norrköping, and she goes, could you come and do some stand-up? And I was like, what's everyone else doing? And they're all singing. And I said, do you know what? Can I sing With or Without You? It's my favorite song. And she said, no, you can't. No, she said, she said yes. And it's the first and possibly the last time I've ever sung on stage.
Did you ever meet Bono, the little guy?
Yes, I did. Yes, yes. I had the little... the little fist bump. That's a true story as well. I've met him twice. Met him in New Zealand. I say I met him.
We were hanging out. Yeah. We were going out to do an 18 holes at the golf course.
I stood there and looked at him. The first time I met him, all I had was a piece of paper. It was like a phone company pay your bill envelope, right? And it had a print of telephones on it. Yeah. And that's all I had. And I said, could you sign this? And he said, wow, that's very Andy Warhol, man. That's really cool, you know? And I did not know who Andy Warhol was. And I was like, yeah, it is Bono. Like that, you know when you lie and you don't know. And that happens now with Svenska. Yeah. People say stuff to me, they go, you understand? And I'm like, yeah, you know. He signed it, and then it was in a car park at Christchurch Airport, and he jumped on the back of a car, like the boot of the car, and my girlfriend at the time jumped on there as well, and I was like, wow, these are the two people I love, you know, yeah. Bono and you. And then she broke up with me like 6 months later, and Bono never called.
But he's a real short guy, isn't he?
Yes, yes, yes. You think he's so far away and then he's there, you know? But yeah, that was my first meeting. And then the second one was in Sweden.
Al Pitcher, time for a little fika and With or Without.
Lördagsgästen på Retro FM.